From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. President George W. Bush has 61 days left in office and the ability to change federal law. The 11th-hour changes could alter everything from abortion laws to the Endangered Species Act. At the end of the year 1980, as President Jimmy Carter was getting ready to leave office, he pushed through 10,000 pages of new rules. They didn't need congressional approval. That kind of mad dash to change policy became known as midnight regulations. Carter's changes covered everything from car crash tests to medical records access. President Bill Clinton tackled issues including allowable arsenic levels in drinking water. This is also the season for presidential pardons. Unlike those pardons, however, midnight regulations can be undone, and today marks a deadline in the process. Rules submitted after November 20th are easier to overturn. Some of these rules may seem obscure, but others could impact your day-to-day life in practical ways. In a few minutes, we're going to talk to a reporter tracking the current rules. But first, UC Berkeley law professor Anne Joseph O'Connell is here to explain how this system works. Hi, Anne.
Hi.
So explain why we see all of these new regulations popping up, and how is this different from a typical lawmaking process where you have Congress involved?
We'll take the first question, why we are seeing all of this midnight regulatory activity. I think there are several reasons, some political, some non-political. I think every outgoing president, Republican or Democrat, wants to extend his administration's reach. So in the final months, we see an attempt at locking in controversial or often controversial policy decisions. And even if some of these decisions can be undone, the effort that the new administration has to put into undoing them prevents the new administration from starting their own regulatory agendas. And there are also some non-political reasons. It takes time to do regulatory activity, and that's why some things finish at the last minute. Now, normally, you asked about the process. Normally, an agency can issue regulations without the input of Congress. And this happens because Congress has asked the agencies to actually implement policy. Congress has decided this is too complicated, perhaps, or for some other reason has said to the Environmental Protection Agency or Health and Human Services, we're going to give you authority to actually make policy decisions. And what an agency normally does is announces what it's thinking about doing with regard to a particular policy, takes comments from the public, gets the comments in, processes those comments, and then issues a final decision.
So this is really a chutes and ladders moment in government where you can avoid a lot of those internal discussions. What do you think that what's the purpose of these? I mean, you mentioned that it's hard for the incoming administration to undo all the work, but are these generally rules that are major or are they small tweaks to government?
It depends, actually. So the big distinction that we talk about in regulatory law is whether a rule is economically significant. And so this means, does a rule have an effect on the economy of $100 million or more, or could have some social policy significance that is also considered to be major? And so most rules at the end are actually not economically significant. There was a recent report that came out that said that the Office of Management and Budget, the White House, which is reviewing some of these last-minute rules, most of what they're reviewing are not considered to be economically significant rules, but several dozen are. And those are the big ones, and those are the ones that people really care a lot about.
Now, the Clinton administration was pretty slow with its last-minute push, and the Bush administration was able to overturn quite a few of them. How has the Bush administration expedited their own midnight or twilight agenda?
This administration has been quite brilliant as a strategic matter in terms of controlling public policy through the administrative state and in particular the midnight regulatory activity. So Joshua Bolton, chief of staff, issued a memorandum to agencies and said, okay, you need to announce any proposal for a new rule or regulation by June 1st, and then you need to finish it by November 1st. And those deadlines have certain effects with regard to how easy or how hard rules will be to overturn when the new administration comes in. And the key really is that last date, the November 1st. It's really November 20th, as you stated at the beginning. And that's because economically significant rules under the Congressional Review Act can't take effect until 60 days have passed since they're actually issued in final form. So if a major rule is issued within 60 days of the new administration coming in, it hasn't yet taken effect, and it's very easy to undo. What happens, the new administration comes in, they send around a memorandum in the early afternoon of January 20th, and they say to the agencies, hold on, for all rules that haven't yet taken effect, we are going to suspend the effective date of those regulations. So they never actually come into effect.
Well, Professor, thanks for the explanation.
Thank you.
That was Ann Joseph O'Connell, assistant professor at the UC Berkeley School of Law, and she joined us from their studios. Now we're going to turn to Joaquin Sapien. He's a reporter with ProPublica. That's a nonprofit organization that does investigative journalism. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
So you have been really taking a deep look at this, and as the country prepares for new leadership, why should people even pay attention to this flurry of last-minute rule changes?
Sure. Well, these rules could potentially allow for more hazardous waste in streams and more air pollution. Could make it very difficult for consumers to sue manufacturers over product liability. And there's even a rule that may inhibit reproductive rights. So I think that there's a number of rules that are sort of pending that could have tremendous implications for public health and the environment.
Why don't you take off a couple of them and tell us the specifics?
Sure. So one rule that was actually finalized on Halloween at about 4:30 or so on a Friday has to do with confined animal feeding operations, and those are industrial farms. And basically, it allows the companies that run those farms to voluntarily apply for permits to discharge waste from these industrial farms into streams, rivers, and things like that. The sort of catch is that there is not really much enforcement in terms of whether, you know, the farm that's applying for the permit actually discharges enough waste to apply for that permit. And so it really leaves a great degree of the discretion onto the industry itself.
So that's one. So it's deregulation.
Right.
Of course, the financial deregulation issue, whether or not how much financial industry should be regulated is a big issue. But also in California, you had a whole look and a proposition that passed that was about this kind of issue, about how densely animals should be kept together. But you mentioned reproductive freedom. What is the regulation change on that?
Sure. Well, the proposed rule would sort of it has an effect on recipients of federal money and on particularly state-run hospitals and other institutions of that nature, and it gives a great degree of discretion to the folks that work in those facilities. And if they have a moral objection to administering contraceptives or birth control and performing abortions, then they are sort of allowed to cite their moral objection to that and not perform that work. An interesting development on that rule that the Washington Post reported on earlier this week is that three officials from the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission have that are actually appointed by President Bush have opposed that rule and have said that it would overturn civil rights law.
Now, when you think about public lands, that's been a big issue. We've had discussion about things like ANWR, the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, but there's also something in here, in what we're talking about public land in Wyoming, Colorado, and Utah, and drilling. What's that?
Sure. Well, on Monday afternoon, the Bureau of Land Management finalized rules that would open up wide swaths of federal land in Utah, Wyoming, and a couple of other Western states, and it basically opens this. It's the first step in opening that land up to oil shale development. Oil shale drilling hasn't been proven on a commercially viable scale just yet, and research that's been done thus far shows that it requires a tremendous amount of energy and water to produce, and obviously water is a huge issue in that part of the world, given that it just doesn't really have that much of it. So the problem from the view of many Western politicians and environmentalists is that the administration is sort of getting ahead of itself and beginning to develop regulations on something that with environmental implications that just aren't yet known, but forecasts show that they could be pretty disastrous.
Does Congress have any ability to kind of put the brakes on this?
Well, to an extent, there's the Congressional Review Act, which was passed in 1996 by a Republican-dominated Congress, in part because Republican members wanted the chance to shoot down some Clinton rules. And the only time that it was ever used successfully was in 2001 with a ergonomics standard for – it was actually a Office of Safety and Health Administration rule that was for workers to protect them from certain workplace hazards that had to do with the design of equipment. The Republican side argued that it was overly burdensome for industry and too costly, and it was actually a Clinton-era rule. And it was because it fell within that time period that Anne mentioned, the Congress was able to take a vote on it and disapprove it. But the way that the Congressional Review Act works is that any rule that's been – that has gone into effect within 60 days of the end of the last president's term could be voted on by Congress in the following administration. They could effectively disapprove that rule. But okay. Obviously, there's a lot of rules that are being pushed at the end of this administration, and it could potentially be very difficult to muster the votes. Congress has a lot on its plate right now with the economy,
all
and
right.
The state that it is, et cetera.
Well, I appreciate your time. Thanks.
Sure. Thank you.
We were talking to Joaquin Sapien, a reporter with ProPublica, and he joined us from NPR Studios in New York.